Okay. In the meantime, an editorial piece, an op-ed piece, was written in one of the newspapers that's distributed here locally that some people read, and I do read it. And as always, I thought it was absolutely exceptional, and that is by our old friend Dan Lucas. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, Bill?
Good. Title. Gun control proposals are part of a grander scheme. Now, more fun than your article are the comments afterwards.
There's quite a few of them.
I just stop after about 10. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, there's some good ones, but there's a lot of regulars in there who, you know, can't say anything rational and not have it be attacked.
I know. It's nuts. Well, let's look at some of the highlights, I think, of your article. Again, it's entitled Gun Control Proposals, a Part of a Grander Scheme. You started off with Oregon's Universal Background Check Gun Control Bill, SB 1551, is being promoted as a reasonable step toward ending gun violence. Gun control advocates have learned to use safe-sounding words. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that the phrase reasonable step, that came from Governor Kitzhaber when he was promoting this bill. And they've over time they've learned how to kind of camouflage what their intent is. So they use these little phrases that will seem like they're being reasonable and we're just asking for this one thing. And of course the frustration is anybody who's been involved in this for any amount of time knows that it never ends there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just asking for one thing. And you only have to look at California or New York to see just here in the U.S. where they're headed. They want it all, but they've learned how to go after it one little bit at a time.
You gave some information, which I think I've talked about on the air before, but if you'd mention it again, what's going on over in the U.K. according to the BBC and Bloomberg News?
Yeah, so you know, if you listen to these folks or get on their websites or whatever, the gun control people, to them, their utopia is for us to get to the point where the UK is.
Which is no guns.
Right, which, and that's what the BBC says, the UK has some of the toughest gun control laws in the world.
Yeah, last time I checked, I think they can have, certain people can have a shotgun. Possibly, and that's about it.
Yeah, and I think in general, and I don't know if it's just handguns or what, but you have to prove to the police that you're not a threat.
Yeah.
That, and then they can say no to anybody they want. I mean, it's really hard to be a firearms owner in the UK. And if you ever use your firearm in self defense, I mean, odds are the system will be against you.
I know I'm going to take you down a rabbit trail, but I have to tell you, there was a series on the BBC recently. It was kind of one of those end-of-the-world type things. It was like an apocalypse type. Not zombies, though, but sort of like a Walking Dead thing but without the zombies. And nobody had a gun. It was set in Britain. And it was a really fascinating series. It was like an eight-part series. I mean, you know, fictional. But what got me was I knew about what you just talked about, and I watched it, and my wife and I watched it, and we said, look, they're having to arm themselves with sticks and rocks and glass bottles and things from these marauding bands of thugs, you know, because all the power's off and it's an apocalypse type situation. I'm not saying we're ever going to be there, but I just thought, isn't that kind of funny? I mean, now how'd that go for you?
Right. And I remember that this was a couple of years ago, I think, but there was some prominent surgeon in the UK who was advocating that they need to ban all sorts of knives as well, kitchen knives.
Holy cow.
I mean, it's just, when you start going down that road, it gets pretty absurd. But, so, the UK, you know, BBC says we've got some of the toughest gun control laws in the world.
Yes.
But then the Bloomberg News, very, you know, not a conservative news outlet, Bloomberg, says that the UK has a violent crime rate more than double that of the United States.
More than double. So what are they doing? Hitting each other with pints of beer? What's going on over there then if they don't have
any
guns?
Right, I don't know, but it shows that
yeah.
Getting rid of guns doesn't make a society safer.
Not at all.
It makes it safer for the criminals.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not hopefully not what we want to do.
Again, Dan Lucas with us from Oregon Catalyst, and occasionally he gets an article written in some of the local newspapers. So gun control advocates, they keep using some funky phrases, don't they? What were some of the ones you were talking about?
Yeah, so when, you know, then I think a lot of this, they do, I talk about that in here too, they don't come up with a, they're not reacting to a real problem. They're coming up with their little version of utopia, and then they backfill what they want, how they want to get there. And that includes, I think a lot of these things, like even the fact that they're pursuing quote-unquote universal gun control, which of course, not universal, because it's only, if they got what they were looking for, it would only be on law-abiding citizens. It doesn't cover the criminals getting firearms. But so they must do like surveys, market tests, and all that to find what phrases and even what approaches are the next thing to take. So it's like a giant marketing campaign for them. So they'll say things like common sense gun law, responsible gun ownership, when of course that's not what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Closing loopholes, we've heard that one a lot.
Yep.
Sensible laws and public policies that address gun violence. And of course, I have a link in there to an article I wrote last year, because every time I hear the term gun violence, it drives me nuts, because it is such a biased term. President Obama said that once, so we've got to do something to get rid of the gun violence. Okay, so but every other form of violence is fine.
I guess, like what
so
happened.
The bombing in Boston is fine.
Yeah,
you know,
what happened in China.
Domestic abuse is fine. Sexual assaults are fine, as long as we get rid of gun violence. Yeah, the knife attack in China, that's fine. What a biased term, and anytime anybody uses that phrase, gun violence, you know you're talking to somebody who's not serious about doing anything real.
Exactly. Yeah, that thing in China this week, I mean, that was insane. Was it 45, 49 people killed by knife-wielding thugs?
Yeah.
We need to ban knives. Holy cow, we got to register them. Everybody needs to register their butter knives.
Ugh.
I mean, it's insanity. Come on, guys. Seriously. Okay, so moving on. You said this, gun control advocates have also learned to exploit tragedies.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, it would even make more sense, and I'd still be opposed to it, of course, because they're wrong. But if there were a tragedy that, say, involved somebody having a particular type of firearm, then they introduce legislation to put restrictions on that type of firearm. But that's not what they've been doing.
No.
They will seize on any sense, and you'll notice there's certain ones they stay away from. You know, because we have lots of tragedies like the Fort Hood shooting and everything, and they don't talk about those.
No.
But they will, you know, certain ones that they feel are sensational in a certain way, then they will try to exploit those tragedies. And we saw this last year, where the four main gun bills that were being pushed last year had nothing to do with what happened in Clackamas or in Connecticut.
No, not at all.
And the same with this Senate Bill 1551 has nothing, it's saying, well, we need to expand background checks to private individuals, but the person who did the shooting at Clackamas stole that. And the person who did the shooting in Connecticut took it from his mom. So private background check would have done nothing to help in those two situations.
Exactly.
So they're just exploiting those tragedies to try to pursue political agendas.
If only we could just take all the guns away, life would be rainbow, cotton candy, and unicorns.
I really think that's what they think.
That's what it is. Absolutely, it's what it is. And I love when the people, you know, like these commenters on your article, you know, you guys, come on, you guys are taking it too far. And we're like, really? Seriously? Then why are we keep doing this? Yeah.
Yeah, and that gets to, well, you mentioned earlier that, so I write about every 2 weeks an opinion piece for a local paper. I don't want to say, because I don't want to owe you another dollar.
You don't want to put the dollar in it, no.
But it's interesting, Bill, because all the different topics I cover, you know, I cover PERS and some other ones that are fairly controversial. I never get little political cartoons put with my article.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
And
but
this
the two
one...
times I've written pro gun rights articles, they felt the need to put little anti-gun, or they put, you know, gun control cartoons right on top of my article. And the thing that bothers me the most is I don't want anybody to think that I have anything to do with those. That's paper putting those in there, and it's like they're so afraid of anybody with a conservative viewpoint being able to just speak and say what they want to say. They it's like if I was debating Floyd Prusansky, the local paper would turn off my microphone every time it was my turn to speak.
Yeah,
they're so afraid of a fair, honest discussion.
It's and while we're talking, I want people to see this, because very few people, Dan, that I talk to on a regular basis actually get that newspaper.
Wonder why, Bill.
Yeah, or go online or do anything. So here's what I'm doing. I am pasting this right now to my show Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/TheBillPostRadioShow, when you go there, you'll see the picture or the cartoon that he was talking about right there. And then you'll see the link to his article. Just look at the picture, and that's all you need to know about what the local litter box liner thinks about Dan's article. I mean, come on. That's where they put the picture. Give me a break.
Right. And Floyd Przanski had an op-ed in the last couple of weeks. They didn't put any pro gun rights cartoon next to his. They didn't put any cartoon next to his.
Yeah. Well,
and like I said, all my other opinion pieces that have appeared in that paper, none of them have had a cartoon next to them except my two ones that are in support of gun rights.
And what you need to see is this picture, this cartoon, is all 50. Oh, wait a minute. They left Hawaii off. Okay. 49 states with bullet holes smoking in the middle of the state, okay, and a handgun that says "Stand Your Ground," and it says "I felt threatened." So we felt threatened, so we shot everybody in the whole country. That's what it's insinuating.
Yeah,
it's
interesting to me, Bill. The people who ever do these cartoons have such a sophomoric understanding of the people who are for gun rights.
Yeah. That's sickening. It's sickening to me. It absolutely is. All right. So if you want to, you can go to my place and link. If you want to read it at the newspaper, is it also at Oregon Catalyst, by the way?
It'll be up on Oregon Catalyst tomorrow.
Okay. Because I tell you what, then, don't go to the other place unless you really feel the need to, because I don't want to help them any. wait until tomorrow morning, OregonCatalyst.com. And look for the article there from Dan Lucas. Gun control proposals are part of a grander scheme, because they really are. And by the way, Dan, I don't know if you have any more inside information than I do. What I got on Thursday, I did my show from the Senate over there. I broadcasted from the live from the Senate offices. And the word that I got from, I don't know, the 6 or 8 or 10 senators that I talked to, of course, all Republicans, they thought that it was going nowhere for this year again.
That's my understanding as well, is that it's going to die another death in the Rules Committee.
Okay. But, as
we
all know,
it should die.
Nothing's dead until shiny die.
No, I know. We're not safe till it's all done, and then we're only safe for a few months. So.
Yeah. And this is all going to start again in January of next year. So.
Yep.
Unless we can really have a really, 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 really different election in November.
I'd be okay with that.
If we could just flip the tables completely, then this probably wouldn't even come up again for a while.
That would be awesome.
All right. Dan, thanks for the reporting job. I appreciate it. Always the writing job, and keep up the good work.
Very good. Thank you, Bill.
You bet. Take care. Dan Lucas, OregonCatalyst.com.